Well, welcome back. We're in week two of our Sunday morning, just a real short series called New Year, New You. Now, how many of you are tired of that already? New Year, New You. All right. I appreciate the honesty there. You know, I was thinking about that. I was even preparing for this message last week, and I said, I'm already tired of it. I mean, how are they going to think? Here we are. So at the start of a new year, some of you, not all of you, not me, but some of you are really, really great at making New Year's resolutions. You know, here's some. Enjoy life. Eat better. How long did that last? Help others. I notice off to the side, this is true. When you're making a list like this, you crumble some of them up over there, right? For some of you, you've crumbled up all of them by now, right? New Year's resolutions. Some of you, if you're like me, and there's times that I do, but this year I didn't really make any. That's new goals and things like that. But some of you didn't make any New Year's resolutions. And you thought, why bother? Been there and done that. Maybe for you, you can identify with this slide. Dear New Year's resolution. Well, it was fun while it lasted. Sincerely, January 2nd. Of all the people who do make, I like that. Of all the people who do make New Year's resolutions, there's a high, high percentage of people who traditionally give up on those resolutions by the second Friday of January. It's called Quitter's Day. It's called Quitter's Day here in our country. Every year, the second Friday in our calendar is known as Quitter's Day. And so we're going to have tips for surviving Quitter's Day, which, by the way, was last Friday. So we're not really great at keeping those resolutions. How many of you remember this book? Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Yes.
How many of you have a copy of it by your bedside now on your nightstand? You get it, don't you?
Yeah.
How many of you had at least one day like that in 2024? One day last year. Some of you can't remember last year, I understand.
I thought you were going to
say terrible, yeah. Horrible. No good, not a bad day. Here's the thing. Spiritually, Jesus wants us to be prepared for days like this because there will be days like that that come in 2025. The new year, the new you, includes you are a victorious overcomer. How? In Christ Jesus. You know, Kathy mentioned, you know, as she was leading us in prayer about what's going on in Southern California. You know, when the new year rolled around, nobody saw that coming. Those individuals that have literally lost everything and are struggling and are suffering, they didn't see that coming. And so they definitely are in our prayers. Jesus said these words, and I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, what does it say?
You'll have trouble.
You will have trouble. So there will be challenges. There will be these terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days in 2025. But Jesus reminds us, take heart, I have overcome the world. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So how do we go through 2025 as overcomers? That we don't have this quitter's day spiritually sometime in 2025. You know, there's a lot of people that walk away from the faith. They walk away spiritually. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. We're his children. He loves us. So we're going to look very quickly this morning at three powerful truths to live by. I say very quickly, those of you sitting there, it may not seem so quick, you know, but I'll try to keep us moving along. Three powerful truths to live by for victorious overcomers. Here's the first thing I want to share with you. In Christ Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you're a Christian, you've been spiritually positioned as a victorious overcomer. Some days you may not feel like that, but the truth is, based on your faith and your relationship with the Lord, that it's true. Because the moment you become a Christian, your spiritual identity, the Bible says that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And one of the things that reminds us of is in Christ, we can be victorious overcomers. What does it mean, this overcomer? What's the definition? It means to get the better of in a struggle or conflict, to conquer, to defeat an opponent, to gain the victory, to win. I love to be an overcomer, like if Linda and I are competing in something. I'm not really that competitive. I do have to say something, though. I do have to say something. Linda pulled off a huge upset over Christmas. Remember I told you the story that's important to me, that I go by the tree and she has more gifts than I do? I didn't realize that this year inside there were multiple gifts inside the boxes that I had. I was grateful, but the competitive side of me, my heart sank. It did. Overcomer. But I don't need to remind you of this spiritually. Hey, we face an enemy. We're in a spiritual battle. He'll be around unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in 2025, which he could. He certainly could. We're going to be facing an enemy. We're going to be in a spiritual battle. But God has given us everything to be conquerors, overcomers, to live lives of godliness. So we're going to key in for a good part of the message today on Romans chapter 8. I love this passage of scripture that God's given to us. Romans chapter 8, we're going to pick up in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? So Paul asks a question here in verse 31. Does everybody see the question? What then shall we say in response to this? And we think about, well, Paul, in response to what? The idea, what Paul's getting at here is what's our response to what he's already been writing in the first part of Romans chapter 8. Paul's been talking about in Romans 8, before we get to these verses that we look at later in chapter 8, here's what he's been saying, basically, in verse 1. Here's what he's been saying. There's now no condemnation for those of you in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, the Spirit of life now lives in you and has set you free in Christ Jesus. Verses 15 and 17, we're God's children, adopted into his family. We're fellow heirs with Christ. Verse 26 and 28, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray. Verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So Paul asks this question in verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? It goes this way. If God is for us, and he is, then who can be successful in their attacks against us? The answer, obviously, no one. God's in control. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing, everywhere present. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer to that is no one. No one. Verse 32, Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The Bible tells us that since God gave his one and only son, Jesus, on the cross, because he did that, then certainly he's going to give us everything we need to sustain our salvation in the present as well as on into eternity future. The point is, if God the Father, if he didn't hold back, if he didn't spare his one and only son, but instead freely gave him up to bear our sins on the cross, which he did, then he'll certainly finish the work that he's planned in each of our lives, along with bringing to completion his eternal grand plan of the ages. So Paul says, will he not also with him freely give us all things? Here's the thing. God loves us so much. God's not stingy. God is generous. He's a loving God. So he's certainly not going to hold anything back that his children need, including what we need to face our uncertainties, our fears, and to live this overcomer and abundant kind of life that he has planned for us. So that's what he's talking about in verse 32. Then verses 33 and 34 of Romans 8, Paul goes on to write. He's asking a lot of questions. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Now, let me ask you this question. See if you know the answer to this. Who is the accuser of Christians? What does the Bible say? Who's the accuser of Christians?
Satan,
the enemy is. The Bible answers this question. The Bible also lets us know that Satan has a horrific ending in eternity.
Amen.
That's good news. That is good news. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brother and sisters, there it is, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. It's over. It's over. But until that day, including here we are in 2025, just imagine Satan, he's like a prosecuting attorney. And he comes before God making all kinds of accusations against you, against me, against us. And he's letting God know, man, did you see that? They've totally messed up. They've totally fallen short of your standard, of how we've messed up. He's just prosecuting a church, just saying, they've messed up. And Satan tries to get us to say, he tries to tell us, just quit. It's quitter's day for you spiritually. He's bringing before God our sins that we should be declared guilty. But I want to ask you, is God going to buy into it? No. No way. God can't. And he will not do it because in Christ, the Bible tells us, we know this truth, that our sins have been paid for, have been forgiven on the cross. See, when you become a follower of Jesus, this incredible spiritual, supernatural exchange takes place. Our sins, your sins, my sins, are exchanged for his righteousness. You'll never, ever have a better deal than that. What an amazing deal that is in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in God's courtroom, in Christ, we're declared not guilty. We're justified in Christ. We're declared in right standing before God. And then Paul writes in verse 35, another question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Again, Paul is speaking to Christians, to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the question, basically. Paul's saying, is there anything, any person, any circumstance? Is there anything that can separate you from the love of Jesus? I mean, should we fear being separated from God's love in Christ? That's the question that Paul is addressing here. Is there anything that can come between you and separate you from the love of Jesus? What's the answer to that?
No.
Well, the answer, nothing. The answer is nothing. Nothing can. Those God loves, he saves forever. Those he saves, he loves forever. God, there's no quitter's day for God. He doesn't quit. He should have given up on me many times. I'm sure, I know that. But he didn't. He hasn't. There's no quit in God's love for us. What about troubles? What about hardships? What about persecution? What about famine or nakedness or danger or sword or crazy life circumstances? Can anything separate you from Christ's love? No. You see, this is the good news. This is why we can worship and gather and live our lives in Christ Jesus as overcomers. Nothing. But then an interesting verse 36. Paul writes, for your sake, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So all of a sudden here, Paul's talking about his incredible love of Christ, and he's going to finish strong in verses 37 through 39. It's not that he gave up on the love of Christ here, but let's look at this. Because Paul's quoting from Psalm 44, verse 22. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Are you okay with Paul does that? Old Testament is the Bible, right? Yes. So he's quoting from the 44th Psalm. And from the 44th Psalm, remember how God's people in the Old Testament, a lot of times they went through tough days. They had those Alexander kind of days, just like we do from time to time. But they were experiencing intense suffering, even to the point that many of God's people were experiencing death at the hands of evil people who opposed God. So the Israelites, God's very own chosen people, were feeling like, man, God, where are you? You've said you'd never leave us, but we feel abandoned. They felt like God had let them down. It was a time of despair. It was a low point. But the people of God, they need to remember that God had been faithful to deliver in the past, and they needed to trust him to do it again. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 36, where Paul is talking about Psalm 44, verse 22, Paul is saying himself personally, man, do I ever know what that's like? I know what God's people in the Old Testament must have felt when they cried out all day to be delivered because of their life circumstance. I know what it's like to feel like a sheep being led to the slaughter. Paul says, I understand it. I lived it. I know what it's like. And he had. Because here's what the Bible, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. Here's what he said. Do you know what it was like to go through hard, terrible, horrible days, life circumstances? It says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. What's 40 lashes minus one? 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and night in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. And then he says, I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. See, there were days, I'm sure, that Paul faced where he felt like anything but an overcomer. I'm sure he had human, real feelings like we do a lot of times. I don't know if Quitter's Day passed through his mind. I don't think it probably did, but it could have. We can identify with what Paul's saying here, though. Because the truth is, we can identify with days and seasons in our lives where we feel like we're overwhelmed. We're more overwhelmed by life circumstances than we feel like we're overcomers. Sometimes, doesn't it seem like we're We're trying to hold on by a thread. Maybe it's a health issue, a relationship issue, financial issue. Some of you have been sick lately, or you're getting over sick. There's still others in our congregation that are, how long does that cold last? With the cough and all that, you know? Sometimes we wonder whether we can hang on. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. Well, yeah, back here. 4, 7 through 9. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but what? Not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul is reminding us here today. He's reminding us as God's people, hey, I didn't quit. You don't quit either. Sometimes it's going to be hard. It's not always going to be easy. But in Christ, we are victorious overcomers. There's going to be days that you feel like more like a fearful sheep being led to the slaughter. Life circumstances can seem that way sometimes. But God says this. Paul reminds us that if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's the God who never leaves. In the next few verses, Paul's going to remind us that absolutely nothing. He's just going to affirm our faith here. Give us the assurance of our faith. It's this love of Jesus. We can never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. How many of you are feeling like right now at this season of your life, you're a conqueror? Never been more like a conqueror than ever before. Remember, as conquerors and overcomers in Christ Jesus, we don't do life in our own power. What does Paul remind us? But through whom? Through Jesus, who loves us. That's where our power comes from. We don't live the Christian life in our own strength. Some of us like to be control freaks. We like to be in charge and in control. But the truth is, I mean, the bottom line is, as a Christian, you know, he's the one who's in control. We don't do it in our own strength or in our own power, but through the power of the risen Christ. Look at this right here. More than conquerors, the word there is phornikeo. That's the word, phornikeo, in the original language. It's where we get the word Nike. Anybody got their Nike shoes on this morning? Nike. And so when it says phornikeo there, that we're more than conquerors, it means we gain a decisive victory. It means Paul's letting us know that you're exceedingly more than a conqueror. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. So remember this, in Christ Jesus, you're phornikeo. I don't encourage you to walk around the village and shout out that word. But remember that. I mean, you can praise the Lord because in Jesus, you're more than a conqueror. So it reminds us that in this spiritual journey, which does, yes, include many spiritual battles and challenges, we're not just going to eke by. We're not just going to barely get a victory like Linda did on the Christmas gifts.
No. Decisive victory.
She phornikeoed me is what she did.
Grandson said so.
Even our grandson said so. I didn't have a chance. We're not just going to eke by barely getting a victory, but Paul is saying in Christ Jesus, we're going to demolish the opposition. We're talking about a God kind of victory, a sweeping victory, an overwhelming victory. And that's why Paul says we are more than conquerors. We can face anything this world throws at us in Christ. in Christ, there doesn't have to be a spiritual quitter's day. God reminds us, where am I at? Oh, Romans 8, 30 and 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, I'm getting messed up in my head about that Christmas thing still. I haven't overcome that. I needed to make a New Year's resolution, but I didn't on that, I guess. But for I'm convinced that neither, be less competitive. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a victory. It's an overwhelming victory. It's a decisive victory because it means that in Christ, not only in this life, but eternally, we're secure in his love. And that's why in the Old Testament we see God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. There's a reason that we sang all these songs this morning. I wanted God's love to just permeate this place this morning. Kathy, the scriptures you read, they were intentional. That just the love of God permeate this room and especially our hearts. And so we've looked at the first principle very quickly. Those of you that are watching the clock, if any of you watch the clock and think, man, he's got 10 more minutes, can I make it? I actually have 12. But who's counting? Let's get to these second principles. They're real quick. As a victorious overcomer, you must daily win the spiritual battle in your mind. You must daily win the spiritual battle. How many of you have said someone else or someone said of you, they're a head case? That's usually not a good thing, right? But we don't want it to be a spiritual head case, right? In Christ. There are far too many people that don't win or don't live an overcomer kind of life because every single day these negative thoughts, these negative things are always controlling their mind. And so you have to ask yourself every single day, every moment of every day. You know, if you start a morning kind of on a negative tone, you can carry that on throughout the entire day. You can make a week out of it. You can make a season out of it. You can make a hobby out of it. And God's saying, man, don't let that happen. When we have negative thoughts that the enemy brings into our mind, and sometimes he works through other people, you know? Sometimes there's a lot of positive, sometimes those negative things. But here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and take every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God. And here's what we do. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Yeah. That's huge. That's huge in being an overcomer. And to win the daily battle, the moment-by-moment battle in your mind. What do you do with every negative, defeating, and false thought that comes in your mind? The Bible reminds us, Paul reminds us, that you take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. So every thought that's not consistent with the truth of God's word, you take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. That means it's something we do continually. It's a continual action. Some verses you might want to look up is Philippians 4:8 on where our minds need to be. Philippians 4:8, Colossians 3:2, Colossians 3:2, and Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. I could preach an entire series on that, but I've spent 3 or 4 minutes on it. But the last thing I want to share with you here today as a victorious overcomer, just remember, you've been freely given supernatural weapons. We're not in this battle. We're not in this fight. We're not in this year of 2025 helpless. We've been given everything that God has given that we need in Christ Jesus to live a successful life, the life of an overcomer. Those hard days, those terrible, no good days are going to come, like Alexander, the book, the elementary school book says. They're going to happen. But we need to remember everything we've been given. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Right before, actually, verse 5 that we looked at. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with, this is talking about God's people, Christians, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. See, Paul even admits, he says, life and ministry, life sometimes, it's a war, it's a battle. And we all agree with that. It's a war for all of us. And the kingdom of darkness is our opponent. But where Paul talks about, we've been given this divine power that he talks about here in verse 4, those two words, divine power, it's the word dunamis. It's where we get our word in English for dynamite. Dynamite. So we were reminded here today, and sometimes we need to be reminded, here we are at the beginning of a new year, the spiritual armor and weapons we have in Christ, they're powerful. They're explosive in a good way. The supernatural weapons we've been given by God contain the divine power of God himself to demolish strongholds. Sometimes we have strongholds in our lives that can be overcome by the armor of God and the spiritual weapons that we've been given. And so the strongholds that are in our lives can sometimes make us feel like victims when God wants us to live lives as victors in Christ Jesus. The armor of God, if you read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the armor of God talks about some of those spiritual weapons. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We bring down the weapons of heaven that God has given to us when we fight the spiritual battle. Well, what are we fighting against? We're fighting against every concept, every philosophy, every worldview, every ideology, and every thought. Everything really that's in opposition to God. So how do you destroy those things? How do those things get destroyed? How do those things get taken down to where you can live an overcomer kind of life? It's these supernatural weapons. And one of those weapons that's at the forefront is the Word of God. We need the Word of God feeding into our lives. That's why it's important. I love seeing all of you here involved in Sunday mornings, but in your personal life, in your personal study, some of you are involved in small group Bible studies. I encourage you to be involved in that. But that's how we overcome, live an overcomer kind of life, that no quitters day. We draw upon the weapons that God has given us spiritually to experience the reality of living a life as an overcomer. Now, as I finish here this morning, I don't know what you're facing, what you're going through as you start a new year. I know what I'm going through. I know some of the challenges that I'm even facing right now. I don't know for you, though, your circumstance or difficulty or struggle or fear. I don't know what you need to overcome right now or at some point during the year. But I do know this. God has given us everything we need in Christ Jesus to be victorious overcomers. Just a couple more verses and we're finished. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John writes, "You, dear children, are from God, and what? Have overcome them. Because the one who is in you, the one who's in you, is greater than the one who's in the world." You hear that? In verses 4 and 5 of John's 1 John chapter 5, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. I wanted to remind you here today. God wanted to remind you, most importantly. I'm just simply his messenger sharing his word. That you are a victor through Christ Jesus. You're an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And guess what? You're hooping to Kale. You really are. You're more than a conqueror. Maybe you came in here today and there's something in your life you're about ready to give up on. Maybe you're about ready to quit. Maybe it's a battle or a challenge or a relationship that's just left you exhausted. Maybe you just say, "Pastor, I'm really about to end up my rope." Here's the thing. We're all facing battles. But don't allow Satan to convince you. Don't allow him to put it in your head that your battle is unique and that it's a battle that can't be won. That your battle is a battle that's impossible. Because that's false. That's dead wrong. Because the truth is, when Jesus is in the equation, every battle can be won. Nothing is too difficult for God. In Christ Jesus, you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. And then we get these words. I chose this message paraphrased. You can read it in your own translation. It'll say basically the same thing. God reminds us, conquerors inherit all this. What is this? The kingdom of God and eternity with him. I'll be God to them. And they'll be sons and daughters to me. Remember this, please. Just as your pastor, right? Just remember, one day, I know sometimes life is hard and we've all been through things already. We're going through things now, some of us. But one day, it'll be worth it all. So let me just admonish and encourage you, don't quit or give up. Don't fall prey to quitter's day spiritually. Because the truth is, in the Word of God, you are a victorious overcomer in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.